Christ is risen.
Lord, Lord,
amen. Have a seat. I'm just taking a peek here. You know, that's a really strange ending to the gospel's resurrection narrative. Is it any wonder why later scribes added a tweak or two to the ending? Just look at that last part, where it says that Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, went out, fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now that's a bit of a problem, right? I mean, if they told no one, what the heck are y'all doing here? Obviously, somebody told somebody something, right? And that's why we get those added on sections known as the shorter ending of Mark and the longer ending of Mark. Clearly, these later authors were not big on creative marketing. You can look at them in your Bibles when you get home. And here's how those bits went. Mary Magdalene actually did tell the rest of the disciples. They rolled their eyes. Now, just an aside, this ought to have been a great time for Peter to make amends for denying Jesus three times. You know, maybe jumping up like, I don't know, Ron Weasley supporting Hermione Granger in the Deathly Hallows after he had really, really messed up. Peter could be like that. Stand up and say, I believe Mary. Let's take a vote. Now, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I see, I heard that. That's great. But no. Continuing on, Jesus appeared to two others on the road, perhaps Cleopas and his wife on the road to Emmaus. They told the disciples. Again, the disciples wouldn't believe it. Then Jesus figured it might be a time for a smackdown of those 11 guys. What a scene that must have been. Now, on the whole, I'd like to say it was a nice gift of that author to those 11 guys hiding away in Jerusalem, not to mention their disbelief of Mary Magdalene or the other two. But it kind of did throw them under the disciple bus. What a story in Women's History Month. Which reminds me of a meme I saw on Threads, maybe you saw it too, the other day, which read, women celebrate Women's History Month by interrupting men with your unsolicited opinions and taking credit for their work. And if they get upset about it, tell them they sound hysterical and should smile more. I'm imagining Mary Magdalene just going, boop, with a mic going that one. The truth is, maybe the author of Mark didn't go off for a smoke break and forget to finish. Well, maybe he did, but maybe the original ending was right all along. No, not in making it seem that the women would be too afraid to tell anyone. Lord knows, and he does. It was the women who stood courageously at the foot of the cross and came to the tomb as soon as the Sabbath was over. Neither were safe to do. Perhaps that's why it is to the women in every gospel account. They are the ones to receive first the good news of the resurrection. Jesus knew he could count on them. No, the reason the original ending works is because of the beginning. The gospel doesn't start with a narrative of Christ's birth, genealogy, or a long hymn to the wonder of the incarnation. It starts with the immediacy, directness, and brevity we get in the rest of it. The gospel opens with the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, some might take that to be the opening of the first chapter of biblical Once Upon a Time, or A Long Time Ago in a Galaxy Far, Far Away. Perhaps they're right. But I would argue it's actually the title, because of the way the gospel ended. And yes, for all you folks that are really good at logic puzzles, that does sound like circular reasoning, that the ending is because of the beginning, which is because of the ending. And on this glorious day of resurrection, you might be thinking, so what? Here's the thing, though. Even while many come to church on this Easter Sunday, and it is so good to see you all here, and we all enjoy everything this service brings to heart and mind, it can be hard to take in this story of the empty tomb if we're really being honest. In our hearts, we may feel the resurrection, the real presence of Jesus. I sure hope we do. But our heads sometimes find it all beyond comprehension. Which is why the ending of this story is so important and points us back to the beginning. And yes, while that does sound like something Yoda, the Jedi Master, might say, the ending not, the beginning it is, perhaps this story will help. When you arrived, you should have received an Easter newsletter. It's got the thing with all the pictures on the back. If you didn't, please make sure you get one. And then in your Easter newsletter, both our wardens wrote wonderful articles. And I commend them both to you. Tom Reynolds, who also happens to be our live stream tech, and whose wife, Amy, is back there ushering, wrote something that touches on this very point about the resurrection. And I want to share a bit of that with you, but I do hope you take the time to read it in full. He wrote, "The other day, I was driving to the nursery school of our church to drop Sophia off, and she said, Grandma is my best friend. It hit me like a ton of bricks. My grandmother has been gone for 6 months. And Sophia starts the morning with this. Grandma says I have to go to school, she continues. I felt the tears choke back as I tried to keep my vision from blurring coming down Hillside Avenue. What else did Grandma say? I ask with a cracked voice. Grandma says, I love you, she replied. I'm glad the light was red and I could collect myself then. Tom continued, I think about moments like that as we come into this Easter season, this resurrection season. We could put too much emphasis on the word resurrection. It feels heavy. It draws images of unthinkable acts or something we can dismiss because I've never seen a resurrected person before. They placed the lifeless body in the tomb and sealed it up, and then he was resurrected. Or in my context, We buried my grandmother's body, and now she's speaking to my child. Impossible. But maybe that's what Easter is about. Taking a brief moment to believe the impossible. Like the line from Alice in Wonderland, "Why, sometimes I've believed as many as 6 impossible things before breakfast." The thing that struck me about Tom's story is at the stoplight. He has heard something beyond comprehension, that someone he loves deeply, who has died, is still alive, though not in the way he knew her in her earthly life. He needed to stop, to take a breath, to process what he was hearing before he could move on to what was next. Now remember what happened with Mary Magdalene and the other women. They went to anoint Jesus, whom they had seen die a brutal death. The heavy stone that closed the tomb was gone. And they are told in a strange scene, with what other gospels describe as an angel, that he is risen. He's alive. Not only that, but Jesus is on the loose and heading to Galilee. The original ending was their stoplight moment. They went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. But while this unimaginable experience froze them for a moment, clearly it didn't end there, not for them or for Tom. The thing is, when we encounter the incomprehensible, all of us need time to catch our breath, to replay what just happened in our minds, to consider what it means for us. And in that moment, we are often silent. Sometimes out of choice, but usually because we can't really figure out how to put the experience into words. But once we do, once we find our voice, what was once incomprehensible becomes just the beginning of the story as the experience shapes our lives in ways unimaginable. That is what the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does. That is the power of the cross and the empty tomb. So all the later scribes needed to do was end with the start. Because the ending is the beginning. The ending is an invitation to continue the story ourselves. To spend time here, taking in the incomprehensible, experiencing the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, to pause from the craziness of our days at this proverbial stoplight and allow ourselves to be amazed, to believe the impossible. Precisely because we know that the impossible is only that which our minds are not yet capable of understanding. And then be the beginning of the good news. Be like Tom and believe the seemingly impossible and tell others about it. Be like Sophia and tell others that they are loved. Why? Why should we do this? Because this type of transformative experience needs to be shared in a world where so many live in despair and hopelessness. Because the unconditional love and grace of God, who chose to dwell among us even knowing the painful cost. It's the balm the wounded souls of the marginalized and oppressed need. Because those stoplight moments are what can turn lives around, especially our own, and change what seems impossible into lived reality. Because once we know the power of Christ's resurrection, that awe-inspiring, incomprehensible, mind-blowing reality, then we also know that hate will always be defeated by love, light will always overcome darkness, and death never, ever has the last word. This, my friends, is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now it's up to us to continue the story. So let us proclaim loud and clear for all the world that Christ is risen. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen
indeed. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, everybody. Happy Easter, everyone. Amen.